It's that time of season, everybody. That is the holiday season and the cold season. This past week, I've been battling a cold. I had a stomach bug last week, but you know what? It's been an amazing week. I've had a lot of chance to talk with a bunch of our customers, and I love that. You know, I love chatting with you. I love chatting with our customers. There's only so many hours in the day, and I still got to get my actual work done, but I try to talk with 3 to 5 clients a week, and it's a blast. It charges me up, and one of the clients I just got done chatting with was Luke Harris. I'm going to introduce you to Luke Harris here in a bit, and I've got my Barry White voice, my deep Barry White voice going today because I've got a cold. The chat with Luke was awesome because there's a couple things I'm going to introduce you to Luke here. Number one, he was our only Carrot customer ever in the history of Carrotville that has ever signed up inside of our office. So he walked in one day and knocked on the door and said, "I'd like to sign up for Carrot. How do I do that?" We all look at ourselves here in Roseburg at our office. We're all looking at ourselves going, we can do that. Like, come into my office. So he came into my office. I opened up my computer, pulled up the page, and he ordered Carrot right there. But the real backstory that's really interesting and cool is there's a couple things. Luke is a land buyer. Okay, he has bought 50 plus pieces of small land in the past year and flipped them. He's about a year and a half into his journey. They're all small dollar deals, of course, but it's consistent. He's turning a really great income for himself and his wife. And it's with small batches of land. Another cool thing, he's across the country. He lives in Virginia right now, but most of his land deals are in Oregon. He's going to walk through in detail how he finds them, what lists he used, what direct mail pieces he used that didn't work, what ones do work now specifically, what negotiations, if any, go on, how he sells the properties, how he transfers title on the properties, every single little bit of everything about his business he's sharing on here. This is a great one in conjunction with the land podcast we did with Gary Horton, probably episode 20 or 30 way back when. Okay, so listen to both these in conjunction. You'll see that they're very similar, but they're in different parts of the country, and you can pick up tidbits from both of them, which is really cool. Another part that I really want you to key in on is performance. Now, I've been huge on pushing the performance train in all the years with Carrot. Okay, we're going into our fourth year almost with Carrot. And one of the reasons our clients have had an advantage, one of the reasons we've grown so much and so fast, is because we focus on performance as an advantage. When you understand that you can tweak some things strategically and do, when you've done over 1,000 split tests on websites in this market, you kind of know what works and what doesn't. You kind of know and you've honed in what performs best and what doesn't. And a lot of our competitors kind of emulate that. Some of them even copy it, which is kind of cool, right? Because that's one of our missions, is to really up-level the quality in our industry, not just the quality of results, but also the quality of service that people expect. And Luke was on one of our competitors' platforms. He was getting leads from them, so he thought it worked. He ended up moving over to Carrot, and we're going to talk you through why he did that, the qualms he had over it, how skeptical he was about some of it, and we're going to talk about what the results were. So basically, I'll just spoil it for you. Before, he was getting 1 to 2 leads every week on his buyer site, changed nothing else, didn't change his traffic source at all. He moved over to Carrot, used our platform, made minimal customizations, just branding, a good about page, a couple other small things, some testimonials. He went from 1 to 2 leads a week to 5 to 6 leads a day. Okay, these are cash buyer leads on the seller side, or on the land side. So he's built up an amazing asset for himself, and we're going to walk you through that decision he made, but every single bit of his business on the land buying side, so you can replicate it in your market if you want to. And if you're skeptical, guys, if you're skeptical about what boosting performance can do in your business and whether Carrot can help you get that, listen to this, because you could be leaving hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars on the table by not focusing on performance. And either you become an expert at it or move over to Carrot just like Luke did, and he'll talk you through the results he got. So shameless plug in Carrot. But you know, I'm passionate about what we do, and I'm also passionate about people not wasting their time doing things that are actually costing them a lot of money. Your business should actually be fueling your passion. Your business should be building and gaining momentum with consistency, and you cannot do that if you've got leaky buckets everywhere. We help close them. All right, so I'm going to introduce you to Luke Harris, Carrot client, former client of one of our competitors, and you'll hear who here in a bit, and just really love what he's doing. Come on in, Luke. Hey, Hey guys and gals, this is Trevor with the Carrot Cast, and I've got something really, really awesome and new for you. And this is like a Carrot Cast first, okay? So Luke Harris, our guest today, and I'll introduce you guys to Luke. He's the first and only person who has ever signed up for Carrot walking into our office here in Rosemary, Oregon, walking into our doors. And it was really cool kind of talk through that story. But the reason he's on the Carrot Cast is because of what he's doing on the land side of things. And just some quick little snippets. Looking at his account earlier today, he's got thousands of leads in there. So we'll kind of talk about some of the things he's doing on the land side. And where he's living, what his business looks like now, what he's doing online to generate the leads, and also why he's working on land. So, Luke, welcome to the Carrot Cast, man.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Excited to be here.
Yeah, dude. So it's kind of fun. I'd love to, before we dive into your story and stuff, I'd love to kind of recap how we first connected. And, dude, how was it? Did you reach out to me directly? I can't remember that first contact specifically.
So I believe I first met you. I knew about you through a number of people in Roseburg there. Mm-hmm. But I came to the Young Entrepreneur Society meeting. Yep. That's where I met you the first time. And yep. I didn't even actually know what Carrot was then. I was using one of your competitors, and we started talking about it, and I was like, oh, wow, this is like exactly what I use.
Yeah. Who were you using at that time?
Lead Propeller.
Mm-hmm. So you're at our Young Entrepreneur Society meetup, and then, yeah, I can't remember that. I mean, the next interaction, you learn about what we were doing, and then you reached out. And one thing that was really interesting with it too, because this is something that we all do as entrepreneurs, right? Where of course our pricing is higher than most of our competitors, so that was something we were chatting about. And I'm like, man, if I can only get him to see the value in the extra performance he's going to get, the extra $50 a month or whatever it is, like, wouldn't even matter. So I'm going, man, what can I do? Just like proof is in the pudding kind of thing. We're going to talk about how we did that here in a bit. But that's always going through my mind. I'm like, man, I know our craft. We know it better than anyone else. I'm confident about it. And then when we can like show it and prove it to people, then you really see the extra $50 or $100 a month is like, it's actually costing you way more than that not to come over and work with something that is higher performing, for sure. Mm-hmm. So let's kind of dive into your story, man. So first of all, where are you living now? And also, what do you do for your business? Like, what's your primary focus?
Mm-hmm. So I'm living in Virginia right now. I'm actually not doing the land flipping full time. Mm-hmm. I'm a forester, which... The reason I got into it originally is into land or real estate at all is I want to have a land base of timber properties as like passive investment and to manage long term. So that's kind of what got me into it.
Yep.
And the types of properties I'm doing right now are much smaller, and they're not really timber properties, but I'm using it to build up capital to buy some larger deals. Mm-hmm. So, and pretty much all the land flipping's out in Oregon, right now. So
dude, how'd you originally get into land? Like, did you first get into real estate investing with houses, or was it mainly from the timber side? And then you're like, okay, I'm going to do smaller batches of land. Kind of where did the land start come from?
It was essentially, so our business is called The Farm Finders, which I think we might rebrand that. But the original idea was we're both, me and my wife are into like alternative agriculture and stuff mm-hmm. like that. And of course I'm a forester. So, raw land made a lot of sense because it's, you know, everybody needs a parcel of land if you're going to farm or, grow trees or something like that. So, and we had trouble, you know, being able to get land inexpensively. And so I basically just started Googling, you know, how do I get cheap land? And, there's several educators out there that teach, you know, flipping land. So a couple of those came up. I started listening to podcasts. That was probably early 2016, I think. Mm-hmm. Yeah, about a year and a half ago. And then ended up buying one of the education programs and diving in and getting started. So
sweet. Which coach did you end up working with on that?
So there's Seth Williams is okay. who I originally started with. And cool. then Land Academy. I went to after that, So those are the two.
Sweet. And they're both solid, man, which obviously shows in the results you're getting, which is cool. So kind of let's give people context right now. So that's kind of what originally got the mindset going and got you starting in looking for this stuff. You dove down the education path. We're gonna dive into how you closed your first land deal here in a bit. But kind of where are you now with it? So you're a year and a half in. Kind of what type of consistency are you seeing with your land deals? And are they all in Oregon or are you elsewhere too?
Yeah, so at the beginning, I kind of was spread out, and we were thinking, oh, we'll do Virginia and Oregon. I'm from Virginia. My wife is from Oregon. Mm-hmm. And I did a few deals, like, in North Carolina at the beginning, and I don't know. They didn't go quite as well, and I'm not sure exactly why, but it ended up we just decided to focus down in Oregon because that's where I think we're going to end up long term. And not spread ourselves too thin and try to learn different markets and stuff like that. But right now, as far as consistency, we're doing 3 to 5 deals a month, pretty regularly. I think we've done a total of right around 50 altogether this year. I think we did 6 or 7 in the last few months of 2016, and then about 45 deals this year, something like that. So
that's exciting, dude. Like I love hearing stuff like that because you're at a point where you're seeing consistency, right? And I know it's something I preach a lot that in some of my previous businesses, you know, you don't really get to unlock what entrepreneurship has for you until you can start to get some sort of consistency because you're always in this boom and bust business model. And, you know, we all have some room to grow there. We all have some work to go and add more consistency to our business model. But once you can start to get every deal you're closing, or every month you're closing a deal, and then every, you know, 2 weeks or whatever it is, man, the consistency adds up. So how'd you get the first deal done?
So I started, like I said, or I can't remember what I said, but in North Carolina is where I did my first couple of deals.
Yep.
So for lead generation, I've pretty much exclusively done direct mail. And I started mailing back tax properties first. And it took a while to get my first deals. I'm not sure exactly what was going wrong with my first kind of using some different principles and stuff. Now I was sending out postcards and then I switched to like a whole offer with the price in it. And,
gotcha.
It seems to work better and it's a different market too. But so the first deal I bought, I think it was in June or July, $800 for a 0.8-acre parcel, I think it was, in North Carolina. Took a really long time to sell. It was like HOA fees, I think, might have been. I'm not sure what it was, but I finally sold it like a year later.
Oh, wow. So
my first couple deals really did not do very well at all. The second one was also in North Carolina. That one did a little bit better. I made some money on it, but it still took a long time to sell.
Gotcha.
And then I switched to Oregon and started using like a whole offer with a letter and like an actual contract that they, you know, people, a lot of the time people just sign it and send it back, never call, never email or anything. So I started doing that and the deals just started coming in really consistently. And so in my first 6 deals, I did like several of them in Eastern Oregon. I did a couple in like Lane County. Those were really good deals. I want to start getting into that market some more, but I did the ones in Lane County were really good. I did, some 1 or 2 acre properties, bought one for 10, sold it for 20, bought one for 5 and sold it for 11. And those sold like instantly.
Sweet.
Like within a day. I guess it's like the demand there is so much higher than Eastern Oregon, but and the whole marijuana thing is actually it turned out both of the lots were not buildable, and so I was really worried about being able to sell them, and but they ended up within 24 hours I had a buyer, and I was flooded with calls after that. And it turns out that zoning is like the only zoning that you can grow marijuana in, so
really?
There's a lot of people. So that's something I'm gonna have to probably get into some more, because it seems like there's just a really hot market there.
But. Dude, I love it. So I want to break apart a few of those things you mentioned there. So you originally started in North Carolina, and you mentioned you were using postcards at the start. I'm going to start to switch over to Oregon now, because that's when things started to get consistent for you. So I remember having Gary Horton on. He's one of our carrot clients in San Diego. And mm-hmm. it sounds like you and him are using very similar methods, right? So
yeah,
he sends up. Yeah, and he sends out the offer, and he uses a lot of direct mail to get the original seller. Then we're going to talk through, you know, how you sell your properties. He talked through in detail how he does his. He started to use Google Pay-Per-Click about a year ago to get sellers through Carrot now, which is working well for him. But let's kind of break apart this. So number one, how do you generate the lists to find the sellers to even mail to in the first place?
Yeah, RealQuest. Okay. Is the and it's not back tax properties. It's just everybody. I've done a couple of things that have actually in my last few mailers that have really increased my results. Mm-hmm. I only mail people that don't live in the county that I'm mailing. Because after I did like 30 deals, I started looking at them and nobody was in the same county. Hmm. And when I switched to doing that, I probably doubled my return, and not nearly as many people call back and were upset about getting the offer.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's actually really that single thing has increased my yield quite a bit. But yeah, RealQuest is where I'm getting the data from. There's a couple other providers that are like DataTree and TitlePro 24/7 would be the other two places that I might use.
Dude, one thing you mentioned was really smart, and I was talking with Max Maxwell. He's a wholesaler out of North Carolina 2 weeks ago, and he was talking about where after his first two deals, he said, man, I reverse engineered the deals. I looked at the commonalities between those, and he was like, man, both of these deals kind of similar, like, except he was looking for houses. They were, you know, They were back taxes, they were probates, they were whatever it was. Like, he had like three things that his first two deals matched. So it was like, what if I just go find more of those? Mm-hmm. And so he's increased his close ratio, his profits are better. He can become an expert in that side of things. And that's smart. Are there any other things you've noticed as you've gone? So you're not really focused on the back tax thing. You've got mm-hmm. the person who doesn't live in that county. Are there any other factors that are in common you're finding with your best deals?
Not really that I can think of off the top of my head. I have pretty much focused on the lower assessed value, because it's hard to, with land, it's hard to value them appropriately when you're coming up with an actual contract. So, and that's something that Land Academy teaches, and I've just stuck with it, and it's worked pretty well. Cool. So, but yeah, that's really the only other thing that I scrub for. I leave pretty much, some people take out like large corporations. I pretty much leave everything in there. The only thing I take out is like, government, entities that own land.
Gotcha. And so as far as the location, like the boundaries, you mentioned some of your best deals are in this certain county in Oregon, which is around where Eugene is, for people who aren't familiar with Oregon very well. But are you focusing more outside of cities? Of course, that wasn't outside much, but are you focusing way outside of cities? Are you focusing without or around cities? Kind of what's your strategy?
Yeah, so I'm in there's pretty much all the counties across eastern Oregon. The majority of my deals have been in eastern Oregon. Okay. Way out in the middle of nowhere. Malheur, Harney, Lake, and Klamath counties.
Yep.
And then Douglas. I did one deal actually right in Roseburg, pretty small deal. But and then Lane and Douglas. I want to get into western Oregon more, because that's where all the trees are and the timber, and that's what I want to be doing eventually. But yeah, for whatever reason, it works really well in eastern Oregon, and that's probably where I'll keep working largely. Mm-hmm. Just because it's worked so well in the past. But
the psychology behind that's pretty interesting, right? So if you look at why that's working, there's a few things that pop up in my mind. I like to kind of riff back and forth with you on this. Where, you know, one of them is, you mentioned it's out in the middle of nowhere, so there's probably not like it's probably not easy for someone who isn't used to marketing land like this to really know how to sell it, because your average real estate agent isn't going to be jumping up and down to take that and list it, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's probably a factor. Mm-hmm.
So they're not going to be able to go to your average agent and sell it because it's probably way too low dollar. And what agent's going to want to be like, yeah, this landlocked piece of land way out in the middle of nowhere? Mm-hmm. They just probably aren't savvy enough. They just don't know the process like you do to then list it on certain sites. And we'll go into that here in a bit and sell it. Mm-hmm. And part of it probably too, they've probably owned the property for quite some time, had some grand plans for it at some time, and now mm-hmm. can just use the cash and just cash out. And oh my gosh, here's an offer in front of me. I'd much rather take the $1,000 or $800 or whatever than not using this property anymore. Mm-hmm. Something like that. That's yeah. cool. So you get the list. We talked about that. And then the direct mail piece. That's really interesting. Gary mentioned that when he switched over to that too, that started to work better. So you guys actually physically send them an offer in the mail, right? Like it's a typed up contract.
Yep, exactly. Mm-hmm. And they sign it. And probably half the deals we do, some of the time I never even physically talk on the phone to the person. It's just all via email or fax. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's wild, man. Like when you think about that, especially coming from the house side of things, right? Where everyone's mm-hmm. used to this negotiation back and forth. Do you guys have a lot of negotiation back and forth, or is it pretty much they accept the offer and you're good?
Yeah, pretty much they either accept it or we're out typically. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Okay. And what do you do? Yep. Like, how do you come up with your offer price? Is there any sort of formula there based off of anything?
Yeah. Usually when I get going in a county, where I haven't done it in the past, I go to Zillow and LandWatch and find the lowest comp for that property size, and then I divide it by 4.
Okay.
And that's what I offer. And then after I do a few deals, then you kind of get a feel for what works and what doesn't and what you can sell them for. And and then a lot of times I end up adjusting down, honestly. But that's kind of the general formula I use anyway.
Cool. So you use those couple sites, Zillow and LandWatch, find the most recent comps, take that, mm-hmm. the lowest one, divide it by 4. And then that way, you mm-hmm. know, you're going in with a strong offer. And if you win it, then you're dialed in. What kind of response rates are you getting? You send out 100 direct mail pieces. You know, what on average do you get back as far as win?
Usually, I think my numbers on the more recent mailers have been like one sold property per like 250 offers that I send out.
Okay. So. And just working through some of the numbers. I love the numbers side of it because then you can really like put legs to it, right? Once you kind of work the math side, you can go, okay, how do I scale this puppy up?
And listen to this podcast you did on that.
Yeah, dude, it unlocks things so much because I know oftentimes we kind of, and I do this too, where you kind of use emotion to kind of figure out your marketing stuff, or maybe you're not even using emotion, you just don't know your numbers well enough to then be confident to scale up. Mm-hmm. So one closed contract, it sounds like per 250 offers that you send out. How much does it cost you per mailing piece to send out? So your total cost for 250?
About 50 cents, give or take a few cents, depending on how many I send out. About 50 cents.
Okay. So we're talking, you know, $150, you know, roundabout, right around there, $125, $150. Mm-hmm. And then what's your average profit per deal right now?
It's varied a lot. Like my best deal I made 10 grand on. One or two, like the North Carolina one, I've lost money on. Mm-hmm. My total cost to do a deal with a good deal of buffer, including like paying VAs and stuff, everything that's associated with that property specifically, not fixed costs, is usually about $500. So I try to make at least $1,000 on a deal.
Okay.
And that's pretty consistent. And then a lot of them I make, you know, $1,000 to $4,000 per deal is pretty average.
Sweet. So that right there makes it pretty cool because you can work those numbers back and see how you can ramp up on the pay-per-click side of things. So you can ramp up on the direct mail side of things and then go from there, which is cool. So you send those out, you start to get some people just mailing the contract back to you signing, which is like crazy sounding to me. Yeah. It's so awesome. Like I'm trying to think of the psychology on the seller side of things where they get this contract and without even talking to someone, they sign it and send it back.
There's usually no emotional connection whatsoever, I think, is the deal. And a lot of times they've inherited it. They've never visited it in their life. And they're like, they don't really care like if someone's trying to scam them or not. Probably they just don't want to think about it. I think that's kind of what's going on. But
yeah, I gotcha. And the cool thing is, man, like, and this is something I'm always really passionate about, getting people to lock into, you know, the service and the value that we're providing in our businesses. And with that, like, can you imagine that person's got a piece of land, they are getting no value from it right now, and someone magically out of thin air sends them something and says, hey, this thing that's either been a burden or you haven't been thinking about, I'm going to pay you money for this thing, like, right now, and you didn't have to do anything to do that. Like, that's so cool and such a high value. And you never know what that extra $800 or $500 or $2,000 or $10,000, whatever it is going to do for them in that moment. And that's, I think, sweet, dude. That's awesome. Mm-hmm. I love it. Okay, so now you acquire the property. And just talk about the mechanics of that side of things, just for some people who may be used to the home seller side. So how does the property actually get over to you ownership-wise once someone sent that back?
Yeah, so they send it back. We do our due diligence. And then to actually close the deal, most of the time we end up talking to them on the phone. But to close the deal, we get a mobile notary. Mm-hmm. And we send them the new deed and the check for the property, and they meet with the seller and notarize the deed, hand the seller the check, and send us the deed, and that's it. So it's a really simple closing process. We do use title companies sometimes on larger deals or if there's title problems, but probably 70-80% of the deals we just do that way.
Cool. So you just go find a mobile notary, get the deed and the check lined up, get it to them. They process it, make sure all set, and get you guys a check and get you guys a deed, or get them the check and the deed. Sweet. Okay. So now you've got the property, you own this property. You're buying, you know, like you mentioned, 4, 5, 6, 7 a month or so. What do you then do with the property? How do you sell it?
I was using... talk about some of the value of carrot here. I was using Lead Propeller, and I list all the properties on my website. I list them all on a list of websites, Zillow, LandWatch, and that all drives traffic back to my website. And I have a buyer's list. And when I was with Lead Propeller, I was only getting like one new buyer's list lead every week or so. I don't know, maybe a couple a week. And then literally... this didn't have anything to do with like posting more properties. When I switched to the carrot site, it was like 3 to 5 every day. And I don't know what it was, what you guys are doing, but yeah, it was pretty dramatic like difference. But so building my buyer's list has turned into something that's really valuable, because there's been probably 5 properties where I email it out to my buyer's list, and within 24 hours, someone will buy the property.
Dude, that's sweet.
And the sale is very easy too, because I just, they buy it online. They click a button, I create the deed and mail it to them.
So are you doing like a PayPal link or something like that?
Moon Clerk is what I'm using right now.
Okay.
Yeah, it's similar to PayPal.
Cool. Dude, so I'm in the back end of your account right now, and it shows 88 leads this week, and it's Thursday right now. So 88 leads this past week. Now, some of those are step one and step two, probably. So in total, new leads, whatever that is, I don't know, probably 60 or 70 or something like that. But a lot of them are from cell phones. So 57% of those people came through in their cell phones, which that's a pretty high percentage. You know, like if you're talking about house sellers or house buyers, usually that's in the 40s, maybe low 50s, 30%. So it looks like a lot of people are on their cell phones searching for properties. They had on your site, or they went to Craigslist, or we'll talk about where you're posting these here in a second. But let me kind of unpack a little bit here. And this, I'm just gonna be straight up, like, this is semi selfish reasons, but like something I'm really, really proud of too is on that switch, right? So this is something I learned years ago, is one of the big lever points in our businesses is performance, is when we can pull some levers that increase the amount of results you get with the same input, then it really can dramatically increase your output. And the problem is, so many people are always only focused on increasing more input, meaning like traffic, traffic, traffic. And one thing I've always focused on is like, what are those things that I can do on that website to build credibility, to hone in the conversion process, to truly understand at a psychology level what it takes to meet that prospect in their mind where they are, guide them in the process that they know that you're the one to work with, and then technically put together a website that streamlines the flow of getting them in as a lead. And so you saw, I mean, I don't know what that percentage would be, but it sounds like in the thousands of percents of improvement on results. Mm-hmm. What would you say that's kind of meant for your business? And also this follow-up question to that is, when you originally, and I originally started talking, I know there was some skepticism about, like, possibly could it really produce that much more results?
Mm-hmm.
Talk about that a little bit, and then kind of what you saw after, you know.
Yeah. So as far as what I feel like it is going to mean for the business, I mean, there's kind of two sides of it. There's my building my buyers list, and then there's mm-hmm. getting leads, which I haven't really dove into much. I have closed a deal through just an organic Google search on my buyer site where people submit properties. But mm-hmm. I mean, having that buyers list, I didn't really realize it at the beginning. I just kind of did it because it was on the website and I wanted to have a website to post my properties on.
Mm-hmm.
But turning out that it's an incredibly valuable resource, and having it just grow like that without me having to do anything, I think can really be big in the future. And what was the other part of your question?
It's kind of the skepticism, right? Because this is something that a lot of people will come to us where they see people like you on a podcast, or they see people ranked well and talking about how Carrot works well, but they also see something that kind of looks similar, whether it's someone created their custom site or a competitor of ours like you were on. It kind of looks similar because they're trying to kind of emulate some things, but the performance isn't there. Like, so mm-hmm. what was your mindset on, like, were you skeptical, first of all, that just making the change could increase your leads? And then what was going through your mind before you made the decision and then after you started working with us?
Yeah. So essentially, we had a certain amount of money to, like, build the business, but I was really trying to pinch pennies. And so even a $50 a month increase was something I really didn't want to have to do unless I was going to get a result. And honestly, I mean, you were local, so that was kind of a big thing, but I may not have done it if you hadn't have, you know, given me a deal. You know, obviously, so basically I was trying to pinch pennies, and it turned out that I probably should have done it.
Dude, I always love challenges like that because I'm like, oh man, he's already getting some sort of leads. If we can just, like, get him to do this, move him over here, I'm just so passionate about it. I just know that he's going to get a better result. And I remember you came in and joined. You joined here on my computer, and then you came back a couple weeks later, and we didn't do that many customizations on your site. I remember we kind of sat there for about an hour, and I walked you through some stuff, and we helped you get some really simple branding up there. You guys created a nice, simple, clean logo, and then we got a simple picture up there and made a couple adjustments, but there wasn't that much that we adjusted, right?
Yeah, a little bit.
Okay.
Yeah.
So to build this buyers list, like I said, I'm looking at your account right now. There's 3,475 buyers. Some of those are step two, so it's probably around 3,000 unique buyers around there, between 2,500 and 3,000 unique buyers. The step two is our step two process for everyone listening to this, where we kind of further qualify that buyer, ask them more questions. So what do you do and actually build the buyers list? Because they're coming from somewhere, so where are they coming from?
Yeah. Honestly, I'm not doing a whole lot. I just post the properties, and I make sure that our website is in all of the ads.
Mm-hmm.
Although I'll tell you one thing that I've found works really well is posting. I know, you know, there's paid advertising on Facebook, but we post our properties in Facebook groups.
Mm-hmm.
And when I do that, and make sure it's in groups, large groups, and posted in multiple groups. I mean, we get like 20 or 30 leads a day, pretty easily when I just post a few properties. So that's probably the biggest thing that I've kind of actively done to build the buyers list. But for the most part, we just post the properties on a bunch of different websites, make sure that the website's in there, and that just drives traffic back and the website grows.
So what are some of those sites? You mentioned some Facebook groups. Are there specific sites or kind of your go-to? I'm going to go here and post every time.
Yeah, we have a list of like 8 probably different sites: Land and Farm, Landwatch, Zillow, Craigslist, of course Facebook. I haven't really dove into social media on other platforms a whole lot. Mm-hmm. Of course, the website, buyer's list, Backpage, a little, I do that. But that's pretty much the main sites where I get the majority of buyers from.
Cool. That's cool. I love it, dude. Like, something's kind of bouncing around the back end and we start looking at some stuff. So you make some really good, I mean, they're simple, but really good listings, property listings on your Carrot site. I'm looking at one right now. It's 15 acres in Malheur County for $100 down. You sold it for $2,900, almost $3,000. Do you remember kind of some of the scenario around that one about what you buy it for? You know, mm-hmm. Kind of walk through that one if you wouldn't mind.
Yeah, so the $2,900 price is the cash price. We actually sold it for $7,200. Sorry, there's an airplane going over.
No, you're good, man.
So that was actually a really good deal. We bought it for $500 and sold it for $7,200 on terms, $100 a month.
Sweet.
For 72 months.
So $100 down. So what happens in that scenario is if you sell it and let's say, you know, 14 months in, they stop paying. Have you had a scenario where someone has done that yet?
Mm-hmm. It was actually a Lane County property. They essentially made the down payment, which was really small. I think it was even smaller than it was just like dock fees and stuff. Mm-hmm. And then they never made any payments, period. And it went on for like 5 or 6 months. And I got all the paperwork to send them certified mail to foreclose on. It's a land contract, so the deed stays in our name at the mm-hmm. county. Mm-hmm. And then I think it's actually 30 days is how long. If they don't pay for 30 days, then we can foreclose on it. So, yeah, I just send them a series of letters that you know, notifies them mm-hmm. that they need their payments or we take it back with, you know, at X date.
Gotcha. Dude, this is cool stuff. I could talk for hours about this and about your entrepreneurial journey and stuff like that. And man, the stuff you've been laying out here is the cool thing is it's simple, right? I mean, it's not like this isn't rocket science. It's you've got a formula, you're implementing it. Man, it's so awesome that you're willing to share that with people. Now, the next thing is people actually have to go out there and execute, which is kind of what separates the people who are making it happen versus who aren't. What's next for you guys, man? I know you're going to keep on churning some deals here. Kind of what's your ultimate aspiration with this business or just entrepreneurship in general?
Yeah. So my goal is to have $6,000 of terms money coming in every month. Mm-hmm. Once we have that, I'll probably largely stop doing my forestry consulting work mm-hmm. and just focus on the land business. And long-term, like I said, I want to do timber deals. So that would be essentially buying properties at a discounted price using the methods that I'm using and then either keeping them long-term as a passive income investment mm-hmm. Or maybe flipping some of them. So, you know, I just read Jack Bosch's book and I love the interview you did with him. But essentially, I want to do kind of what he talks about with timber properties and have, you know, all of our income covered with passive income, but from timber properties, which is probably a little bit challenging because it's kind of a boom or bust thing where you do a timber harvest and it's a bunch of money and then, you know, it's a long time before you get another one. But that's really our long-term goal is to have a large timber property that we live on and do sustainable forestry on it and have passive income from timber investments. Mm-hmm.
I love it, man. I love it, dude. So when you guys are going to be back here in the next couple weeks for Christmas and then you have some sort of a timeline when you might head back out to the West Coast to live or what's your plan?
Probably 2 or 3 years, something like that. Mm-hmm. We don't have like a specific date. I imagine it'll be a decent amount of back and forth. We're going to buy a property out there and build a house on it is kind of our plan. Mm-hmm. So yeah, probably a couple of years.
Awesome, man. Well, dude, I so appreciate you taking the time out to hop on the Carrot Cast with me. And I've been wanting to get this one in the books for a while because I know it's just fun the way that we met and also just kind of the challenge that I love that we took on together. I'm like, oh, man, let's get you some better results. And it's always cool when it works out in your favor. So great stuff, dude. Any parting words for people that are looking at land or even not even just looking at land, but let's say they're possibly looking at Carrot and they're on another platform where they built their own site. Is there any advice you'd give to someone in those scenarios?
I don't know. It's worth the extra money to go to Carrot. Definitely. Mm-hmm.
Sweet. Well, cool, dude. Everyone, make sure you listen to this episode and then go back and listen to the episode with Gary Horton as well. I think he was in the first 30 episodes or so, and he's also doing a very similar model to Luke, just in different states. I think he's in Texas, Arizona, California, hasn't branched up into Oregon yet. But just go listen to both those, because in the market that we're in, there's lots of options that people can dive into and really provide value for in the real estate market. And this is one part of the market that honestly a lot of people aren't looking at, and there's just tons and tons and tons of these properties around. I've got a friend, Joe McCall, that he's got a good part of his business doing this right now in Colorado and some other states. So that's the thing. There's just so much of this property all around that if you kind of find your farm area, no pun intended, but find your farm area, get to know it, and then just really start to go after and tackle it and help to get these properties out of people's hands that aren't getting value for them and getting in people's hands who are going to use them. So Luke, keep crushing it, man. If you need any help, let us know. Looking forward to seeing you sometime when you're out here. And everyone, subscribe to the podcast. Subscribe to the Carrot Cast. Give us a rating and review if you enjoyed this episode. And if you're looking to buy some land in Oregon, head over to thefarmfinders.com. Get on Luke's list and buy up his land for sure. He'll have some for you. Thanks, Luke. Appreciate it, man.
Yep. Thanks for having me.
For sure, dude. All right. See y'all. Have a good week. It's funny, right after Luke and I stopped the recording of this, him and I were talking, I'm going, man, like after I listened to that CareCast episode with Gary Horton on land buying, and after I talked with you, I'm going, man, it seems so simple, and I want to go do it now. Now, will I actually do it? Probably not, because I'm hyper-focused on what we're doing here at Carrot and helping you guys do the same thing. But one thing I want everyone to get out of this is this right here is, There's more than one way to invest in real estate. It doesn't have to be houses. It doesn't have to be flipping. It doesn't have to be wholesaling. There's a lot of Carrot clients using Carrot really well to buy and sell land. So is land something that could be an addition to your business or possibly your core focus moving forward? Maybe it is. Also, one thing for newer investors, if you're a newer investor and you haven't kind of got off the sidelines yet and made things happen, one thing I want you to get from this is how simple it really is. Now, the mechanics of doing exactly what Luke mentioned are extremely simple. There's a few gaps you got to fill there, you know, but you can find the resources for those easily. The main things that we have to do when we're just starting something is make that mental leap. You know, you've got to make that leap of faith, knowing that you've seen other people do it and you've seen other people replicate a similar process and they've got results. So with the land side of things, you've seen Gary do it, you've seen Luke do it, and there's tons of other people too. So I think the proof is in the pudding that it works. Now, if you're on the sidelines still, what is it that you need to get over now in order to take action? Okay, you know that the method works. Okay, you know that there's tools out there that can help you make it work, including Carrot. Your next thing is, can you work it? Do you have the confidence to step outside of your comfort zones? Do you have the confidence to step outside of whatever other people are saying that you can or can't do? Do you have the confidence to go out there and take control of your destiny and build this business now? So that's a challenge I'm going to toss out to you. If you're newer and you're looking for that confidence, you're looking for that motivation to get off the sidelines and get something going, land could be it. Okay, so follow what they're doing. Follow the resources. He mentioned some of the resources that he's gone through, that he's worked with to get great results, including Seth Williams, who's a great, great, great podcast and great resources. Go use them. Go take action and bet on yourself. Bet on yourself, okay? Because if you don't bet on yourself, no one's going to. All right? One thing I'd love for you to do is also, if you enjoyed this episode, I'm going to ask you again, go subscribe on iTunes, because we release these on iTunes a week earlier, a week to 2 weeks before we ever release them on our blog. So whenever we do giveaways, we'll do giveaways of books quite often. We do giveaways of other things. We always, always, always limit those giveaways, and it's always the people that are subscribed on iTunes that get access and actually win the giveaways because you get a week head start. So go over to iTunes, find the Carrot Cast on iTunes, subscribe to us. And then while you're there, take the extra 15 seconds and just put a little bug in my ear about what you think about the Carrot Cast in their ratings and review section. Give us a review. We're looking to get this puppy over 100 reviews. And if it's a 1-star and we sucked, let me know what we can do better. If it's a 5-star, awesome. Let me know what you loved about it. Okay. So take that 5 seconds, head over there and please, 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 I would love you forever. And that's, I would just love it. Okay. It pumps me up when I read those. I read every single review. Don't think I don't. I read every single review and I love it, guys. So I so appreciate you being a part of the Carrot community, whether you're a Carrot member, whether you're a Carrot Cast listener, a blog listener, it doesn't matter to me. You're all a part of the Carrot community. And I just so love the ability and potential that we all have, that you have to go out there and make an impact with your business for sellers, for buyers, for your family. And whether you know it or not, you're changing your family tree forever. Your children, your friends, your family, they're all going to change their outlook on life based on what you go out there and achieve and show them as possible. So hopefully we're helping you expand that in your mind. Hopefully we're helping give you resources and connections to do that. And hopefully you take action on your big dreams this coming next year. All right, have an amazing rest of the week, and we'll come at you with another episode of the Carrot Cast next week.